The executive power shall be vested in the President of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years, and together with a vice president chosen for the same term. So say the words of our Constitution, Article 2, Section 1. And what awesome power that is! The President of the United States, most people believe, is the most powerful person and position in the world. The President shall be Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia of the several states when called into the actual service of the United States. And those are the first words of Article 2, Section 2. The first words, and perhaps in the minds of the fathers, the founding fathers, the first priority of the President of the United States, the military. He is Commander-in-Chief. And what an awesome power that is! Unbelievable in scope, not only for America, but the world at large. The President of the United States is ultimately responsible for the decisions which unleash the most powerful military in the world, ours. The President can order the Army and Navy, as well as the militia, when called to wage war, to invade, to defend our country, and otherwise use the armed services for the best interests and the protection of we the people. The President can appoint those in position of authority in the armed services, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, and all others who are philosophically and politically akin to the appointing President. It's always customary for the President to act in concert with Congress and to seek congressional approval for the declaration of war or engage in any significant military action. And that consultation often happens, but not always. The appointment of those with authority in the military are critical and vital appointments by our President. Very vital. They protect us, and they protect other nations. And now comes brand new Secretary of Defense James Mattis, himself a former general, now in charge of the mightiest military in the world. What an awesome responsibility. And what a task Mattis has to take over what many believe to be a weakened military, in need of better and firmer direction and strengthening in every way. Secretary Mattis takes over a military in many ways disheartened and certainly politicized. Ours is a military become highly politicized under the former president. Generals in charge under the Obama administration have introduced a new sense of politically correct, politicized much of the military structure, required the implementation of new rights, and especially for gays, and severely restricted, punished, or even eliminated certain other rights, like freedom of religion. Our military has become concerned with functioning in politically correct ways rather than winning wars as a first priority. The military, many think, has been weakened in terms of budget, state-of-the-art weaponry, including and especially ballistic missiles, and personnel, well-paid and highly motivated. Trump has promised a rebuilding, a reversal, a complete reversal, and a re-energizing of our military. And we, the people who live in a war-mongering world, we now wait for that to happen. Of concern to Christians has been the growing anti-Christian and, of course, anti-religious approach the military now takes. It has, for example, been forbidden, or at least severely controlled and restricted, for members of the military to testify regarding their faith. So-called sensitivities prevail. That is especially so when Christians motivated by the absolutes of the gospel and with respect to homosexuality speak up. Any who criticize gay marriage, for example, can be rebuked or punished or in severe cases court-martialed. The defense against so-called hate speech ever grows. And that presents an interesting dichotomy. One can kill the enemy with impunity on the one hand, but on the other, not be allowed to testify, to speak to what one believes. Such was life in the military under Obama, however, and his secretaries of defense and his generals supported his policies. Trump has promised to change all that, and to do so in the first 100 days. The appointment of Secretary of Defense James Mattis seems to be a good first step, don't you think? President Trump has also promised to rebuild and reinvest in the American military. He has as a first priority, that is, in the first 100 days, military budget increases and the beginning of a full modernization and upgrading of the military. Trump, businessman that he is, has looked not only at military priorities and allocation of budget, but has actually become personally involved in examining budget. He's good at that. He's got his finger in every financial pie. And the allocation of funds to the military. And the general financial decision-making at the federal level with respect to the military. To the point of actually reviewing projects at work and the cost thereof. Such conduct seems to augur well, don't you think, for the now long-forgotten concept of accountability. Accountability. Not a whole lot of that existing in these days and age. The accountability for the billions and billions of dollars spent for military purposes. Trump will make certain that military projects are prioritized, but at the same time, that the costs thereof and the contractual performance by those entrusted to do the right thing is carefully and fully monitored and all held accountable. How good that is for we the people. The new administration, the new Secretary of Defense, and the new thinking sees as real concern and perhaps real military priority the new military world of ballistic missiles. Boy, that's scary stuff. Especially long-range and so-called intercontinental missiles. Nothing, nothing, including terrorism, is more of a threat to America than all such missiles. The range becomes longer and more accurate. Our enemies can reach us with intercontinental ballistic missiles. We recently witnessed the testing by North Korea of long-range missiles, capable of reaching America, and even more horrifying, with the capability of carrying nuclear warheads. In short, an intercontinental missile launch from North Korea capable of reaching America and carrying a nuclear warhead could destroy a city like New York and millions of people in seconds. America's protection against ballistic warfare is at an all-time low and simply must be reprioritized and refurbished. That must be the first military priority of Trump and Mattis. It just must. The reality and warmongering priorities of nations like North Korea and Iran, they must be dealt with. And it must be done soon because of the so-called treaty negotiated with Iran by Obama and company. This rogue nation will have the capability of nuclear warfare and the ability to deliver a nuclear attack by ballistic missile all the way to American cities, just like North Korea can now. Obama and his minions turned a blind eye to that possibility, now an actuality. There is now the reemergence of the old Russia, with its vast and awesome military and nuclear capability. Russia, under Putin, is the same old serious threat. And it stands ready with Iran, awful. Isn't that an awful alliance? Part of the axis of evil. Russia stands ready with Iran to counteract the American military and the influence we have, especially in the Middle East. Russia seems to look the other way when it comes to North Korean nuclear capability and, of course, China. That nation, at least ostensibly friendly to America, is it really? That nation itself has enormous military ballistic missile capability, so that all of which, North Korea, Iran, Russia, and China, are major and potentially disastrous threats to the America of the future. Trump and the new military must deal with those problems. He must. Our federal budget must invest in our safety and protect our homeland now more than ever. We need missile shields like Israel has. Israel has the David Sling, a missile shield system which actually detects and explodes incoming missiles before they can do harm. Although extremely costly, there seems no other protection for the future when it comes to an absolutely horrific potentiality of nuclear explosion. My friends, my fellow Americans, it only takes one. And this country is in absolute chaos and turmoil. We can't let it happen. And then there is terrorism, whether the military, Homeland Security, FBI or CIA, or even local law enforcement. Terrorism is an ever-growing threat. As in France and Belgium and other nations, terroristic sabotage and killings can occur at any time. Progressives refer to such acts in America as those of lone wolves, individuals acting alone. But that, my fellow Americans, is terrorism for now, just the start of it. Thousands upon thousands of illegal immigrants have entered our country. Some, if not many of them, are potential terrorists now or in the making for the future. Explosive capabilities, even including nuclear, increase every day as terrorist warfare tactics for those bent upon the destruction of America. Surveillance must be increased. Our borders must be protected. Illegal and criminal immigrants should, in fact, be deported. Why should they stay here? They are nothing more than a threat now or in the future to America. Enough is enough. It is time for America and we the people to rise up, to stand up and protect ourselves, and demand that protection from our federal government and our military. We should not bend to things politically correct or progressive and liberal thinking, which it just denies the real world. Our families and our futures are at stake. Trump, Mattis, Price, Comey, and others should stand up and do what is right. Protect America against missiles and against terrorists in any and every way possible. Get, Mr. Trump, this critical process started in the first 100 days. We the people need it. America now fights wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and to some extent Syria. America fights ISIS abroad, all the while ISIS begins to infiltrate and influence America and its malcontents. Trump has promised that wherever America fights war and risks the lives of its military citizens, that war will be fought to be won, or America will exit the military theater. So, Mr. Trump, make that promise happen. Make it happen. Fight to win or get out. We cannot risk the lives of some of our very best citizens abroad, or we the people at home. Deal with the real world. The world liberalism ignores. The real people in this world, and so many nasty and warmongering. Now more than ever, fight the fight of freedom. America and the world at large, the free and right-thinking world, depend upon that, Mr. Trump. Make it happen. And the military has another serious problem. Enlistment is at an all-time low, and more difficult than ever to get recruits. So many right-thinking men and women do not want to join the military, even those who feel motivation and duty to serve, protect, and defend. That is so in part because so many feel that they will not learn how to be soldiers at arms, but every bit as much, even a priority so, to be politically correct. Looking over the shoulder, concern with the existing highly politicized military is perhaps the greatest obstacle to enlistment. Changing all of that. Changing back to what the traditional American military used to be will be great encouragement to those who wish to serve. Make it happen, Mr. Trump, and make it happen soon. At least get it started in the first 100 days. I think the appointment of Secretary of Defense James Mattis was a good first move. As Commander-in-Chief, there are few checks and balances as military decisions are made. There is, of course, the Congress and the Senate with treaties, but much of that advice and consent process and consultation and cooperation with Congress on the part of the President generally can be bypassed by the President, who can act in the best interest of and to protect America at an instant as he decides. Critical presidential decisions can and will be made, and the decision of one man can unleash the awesome and incredible military might of America in the world at large. One man, in the protection of the general welfare of we the people, can in essence in one day decide the fate of the world. Isn't that an unbelievably awesome power? One man can unleash the power and destruction of nuclear warfare and the retaliation of any such nuclear act the world over. What incredible trust we put in our president, do we not? What confidence we the people must have in the right man to make the right decisions which our existing Constitution fully grants. In the world at large, the constitutional power granted to Donald John Trump to be our commander-in-chief is indeed the most awesome, all-encompassing presidential power granted by the Constitution. We the people can only hope and pray that the right decisions will be made. We can only hope that as Trump changes back, America will once again become the military force it should be, and that the new president will direct and implement and control and constrain this awesome military of ours so that it does the right thing for America, for we the people, and for the world at large. Oh, my friends, how the world has changed and changed so radically, and will change even more in the next 4 years to come. We the people, because of that change, must invest in our country and its military and its security in brand new competitive ways. We must reinvest and reinvigorate and reinvent and reestablish our military and re-energize it so that our one-of-a-kind democratic way of life can continue. Trump, with his decision-making, will determine what the American military and America itself will become in the next 4 years. We can only pray, as we are commanded to do, as Christians, we can only pray for this man. Pray that God will give him wisdom, discernment, a strong sense of justice and what is right, and a deep and true concern for the protection of this great country and we the people in any way possible. Our way of life, our future, our families are at stake. Only divine intervention and presence in the mind and heart of Donald John Trump and the will of God at work can enable this man to make the right decisions. So pray for him and encourage him and support him, but at the same time, constructively criticize him. And even as you pray and work for him, do so for America, your families, and even the world at large. We all seek peace. We all want peace and the end of any and all kind of warfare. There is, we Christians believe, only one source of peace. May the world come to know that, and him the answer. For the first 100 days and the next 4 years, Mr. Trump, we are watching. We remember your promises, and we will work with you to make them happen. So make them happen.